Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Last day of the TechEd, how did you enjoy the conference so far? Great? Good. I love TechEd. It's really great to have lots of technical content here. And actually, in the past years, we did not always have very depth-level content about Active Directory, so I'm very glad that we have multiple sessions this year. And I'm very honored that I'm here today and that I'm able to present one of the sessions to you. So the session title is The Evolution of Active Directory. I started working with Active Directory 14 years back, or almost 14 years back, when my new boss forgot that I'm supposed to show up this day, and he was sending me to an NT5 preview class. And so the teacher there told us many things, how Active Directory migrations are supposed to work, and this just sounded wrong. So I was very eager to get my hands on the first medias of NT5, how it was called back in those days, which made it later into Windows 2000, to try the migration path. And I find the technology is so fascinating, and so there are so much improvements also in there that I actually stuck with the technology up until today. I'm trying a new concept today. So this session will be also streamed via internet. So we have attendees out there. Hello, thanks for attending today too. And also we only have a few microphones there, but there are lots of chairs. So if you're uncomfortable to walk to a microphone, or if you are watching online, please feel free to ask questions using Twitter. And we can follow up either in the session, or if we don't have enough time or anything else, then we can actually follow up afterwards. One simple thing, or two simple things I'm asking you. First is use the hash code TESIA319. That's TE for TechEd and the session code. I use this hash code. I will monitor it here. And also, if it's likely possible that I'm coming to one of the questions a little bit later in my slides, simply wait a little bit that we don't have too much coverage there. Okay, let's start. So the evolution of Active Directory, or the evolution of Active Directory, is directly connected with the evolution of Windows. When Microsoft was coming out in the early 2000 days, they claimed that Windows is ready for big enterprises. However, with the very early adopters of Windows 2000, we've seen that we had to make a lot of manual changes in Active Directory to allow huge infrastructures replicating correctly. We were using manual connection objects and stuff like this to work around the things what Windows 2000 wasn't able to do for big enterprises. Also, we had those group issues. Everybody here remembers probably that in Windows 2000 we were unable to create groups which contained more than 5,000 group members because of the amount of data which was able to go over the wire in one replication, because all those group members were always replicated as one big blob. And the other issue there is also if we had administrators administrating on two different DCs, and one was adding a member to a group and the other one was removing a member out of the same group, and replication was kicking in afterwards, the later change was winning, so one of the two changes got lost. So those things got improved in Windows Server 2003, and when we were looking at the next levels of operating systems, actually Windows Server 2003 was already fairly ready for the enterprise. We got with Windows Server 2008, then read-only domain controllers, where we were able to provide even domain controllers in unsecure locations. And with Windows Server 2008, we got the recycle bin, and now we have Windows Server 2012. And so today I want to look with you at all the technologies, or most of the technologies, which were coming and which are helping us getting the right Active Directory recovery, or the Active Directory backup and recovery strategies in our enterprises. So I have a lot of suggestions here. You don't need to take everything as granted. You can. You always need to make up your own recovery plans, your own recovery procedures. But there are lots of things that what I learned in working with big, large enterprises back in Europe and across the world when it comes to Active Directory and backup and recovery. So This is a 300 level session, or it's claimed as 300 level. It's, there are a couple slides in there which are fairly technical and more on a 400 level. Also, we have to start a little bit lower because not everybody is coming from the same concept. So let's start first with some basic things. So if Active Directory has issues, there are certain things which might happen. One is that single domain controllers are breaking. That's easy to restore because we simply recreate them usually. Domain recovery means that we have multiple domain controllers or the whole domain which got corrupted and we have to restore a whole domain. Then it's getting a little bit harder and you have to have a lot of knowledge there how to restore those things. And the worst thing is that you have a forced recovery because of bad data in the schema, bad data in the configuration partition or anything else which is going so badly wrong that you can't fix it and that you need to recover your whole forest. Actually, we will also talk a little bit about virtualization, and virtualization is actually one of the, or has been one of the main causes why we needed to do forest or domain recoveries in the recent past. So those were the recoveries when we took at when you look at domain controllers and Active Directory domains and forests. But also we have in Active Directory a lot of data which is being replicated, and we also need to ensure that we are able to get this data back. So multi-object recovery means that we have one OU, for example, and we deleted one OU, and everything underneath is gone. This was actually fairly easy using Windows Server 2003 R2 and so on when you were using the Group Policy Management Console. When you were using Active Directory users and computers and you were deleting an OU, the interface told you, hey, that's an OU, there are objects underneath there, are you really sure you want to delete? So you first got a message box, are you really sure that you want to delete? Yes. Be careful, this OU also contains sub-objects, are you really, really sure that you want to delete this one? And exactly there, the administrator should be aware of that it's probably not the best idea deleting this OU. However, when you were using the early versions of the Group Policy Management Consoles, you had the OUs right next to the links of the OU, links of the Group Policy objects which were linked to the OU. And you are able to do OU management in GPMC. So this actually happened at one of our customers where somebody had the focus on the OU and he thought that he was clicking delete on the link. And so he got the warning, are you really sure you want to delete this object? And he said, yeah, I want to delete this group policy link because group policy links, when I'm doing administration of multiple of those things, I'm firing them up and I'm deleting them all the time, especially if I'm doing versions or something with them. So he accidentally deleted our OU, and the OU had like 500,000 computers which were spread, computer accounts in there which were spread out through some state. And this was pretty bad restoring those because they had slow WAN links, and you know that computer accounts are changing the passwords too. So ugly things because of a simple administrative error. Also single objects might get lost. That's mostly not the issue, but so who in here had objects lost, single user account, something like this? Many, okay. And what did you do to restore them? Did you restore them or did you recreate them? Restore, okay. So many here restored. However, there are also a couple of people who are simply recreating a user account and trying to give him the same rights again because there's less knowledge required if you just if you're just recreating a user. However, then you have to rejoin the Exchange mailbox, then you have to get the right group memberships in there and so on. So it's an ugly thing there. And one thing which is also there is attribute recovery. And attribute recovery also got much easier in Windows Server 2003. Let me show this to you for a moment. So let's go over to let's start up Server Manager here, and I'm actually running the demos. I'm actually running the demos. Our the remote server administration tools are installed on my host operating system, and the domain controller I have with me is a full server core. It's even a stripped down server core, because in Windows Server 2012, you're able to uninstall binaries which are not required by any features. So you can even strip down the size of your server core more than you were able to do with previous operating systems. So we have the server manager here. And in server manager, I actually want to start Active Directory users and computers for this on this domain controller here. Are you able to see the fonts back there? Okay, if not, come here. So I have this OU here, and I have our this domain here, and here I have a couple accounts what I just created using a script. And in Windows Server 2003 and later, you are able to go here and then do right-click, hit properties, and then you are able to say, okay, I want to change the description or the office location, for example. Oh, actually, no, I don't want to change it. And then you're leaving this, you forget this checkbox here, you're leaving dialog boxes using OK, which is a bad thing. You should leave dialog boxes also using, always using cancel if you don't really want to make changes. But by this simple error here, you can actually delete the office location of all of those users. And that's where this attribute recovery is kicking in, because then you need to find some way how to restore it. And actually, Windows Server 2008 and later is providing us great ways to restore those things. Okay, no Twitter. There are also things with bad scripts, like I've also seen this happening with provisioning scripts, that data is being lost accidentally. So it's not always administrative mistakes. It's also some errors in procedures. For example, at one company, human resource once tried to, or they were extending a contract of an external employee, and he was really close working to the board of directors, so he was kind of important. And they extended the contract, but they didn't tell administration, and administration had automatic processes in place to delete temporary accounts or accounts of temporary workers if they weren't if they were expired. So this poor guy actually got deleted. He had a lot of memberships and a lot of rights there, and they actually need to perform this user account too, just because of a bad or a correct working process, but the wrong missing communication. So what's bad in all those scenarios, and the animation was now pretty fast here, is those changes are always replicated over to other domain controllers. So in the early 2000 days, we only had one possibility basically to do those things. If we didn't want to manually recreate those things, then we had to do a non-authoritative restore and an authoritative restore. Non-authoritative restore is getting a full domain controller back system state as it was when we backed them up. So if we do a non-authoritative restore and we let the domain controller replicate again, he's also losing those information. So non-authoritative restores are only good to get domain controllers back, but you can actually reinstall them. However, if you have a non-authoritative restore and you put a, and take an authoritative restore afterwards, you're able, so you're going to non-authoritatively restoring the domain controller. This is giving you actually all the structure back, but you're ensuring that he's not replicating by taking him off the network or whatever you're doing. And afterwards, you make an authoritative restore on this domain controller. This is actually marking the users and OUs what you want to undelete. It's marking them as newer than the older ones. And when replication is kicking in, the deletion is gone. So that's actually the Windows 2000 way of doing things. However, we have always had issues with restoring links. So links are, for example, and I will show you an example how this is looking in the Active Data Directory database in a moment. If users are member of groups, so on the group we have an attribute which is called members, and there we have a pointer to each of user which is a member of this group. But as you all know, you can also go into Active Directory users and computers, and you can look at the member of tab. And there's actually an attribute in the user account or on the user, which is also which is called member of. And there is a pointer back to the group. However, the forward link is writable, and this is being created by the administrator. The backward link is calculated automatically by the database. So you always need to care about the forward links, and you can't do anything with the backward links except from having information. So some people are saying, okay, but when you go in Active Directory users and computers, and you have a and you go to the member of tab, you are able to put this group user into the membership of a group, but actually that's a cheating of the interface. The interface isn't writing the user, the group and the member of attribute of the user. The interface is actually going back to the group and then adding this user to this one group. That's the reason why you can't select multiple groups in the interface as well, why you can't select them, because it's, the interface is always hunting back for the group and then changing the user as being a member of there. But we also have other links here. So Boss zum Beispiel, managers, you can put your management hierarchy inside Active Directory, and this is actually very valuable when you work with Outlook, Outlook Web Access, SharePoint, because then you can navigate through the organizational hierarchy by simply going to your boss, the boss's boss, then look at his siblings, and then go down the hierarchy again. So it's very valuable to fill in this, those information. And we also have other objects like password setting objects. In Windows Server 2008, we introduced fine-grained password policies so that we were able to have certain passwords for, let's say, service accounts or other password policies for administrators. And for your users, you were able to use the moderate policy what your users are dictating you. And those password settings objects are also links, what you need to take care of when you're restoring them. To restore links, always remember only the forward links are writable, and only the forward links will also be restored when the target is available. So, for example, let's say we do an authoritative and non-authoritative restore, and we had users and groups and bosses, managers, whatever, recreated, and even group can be members of other groups. So the issue there is, if you restore a group and the group has a pointer to a user, but the user hasn't been restored yet because it's coming 1 second later in the restore process, then the group membership is being lost. So what you can do in those cases, what you had to do in the Windows 2000 days, was that you were restoring actually twice. And you also have to do this in every other domain if you have multiple domains and if you have group memberships and so on across domains. In Windows Server 2003, we introduced a possibility here to create elder files. So when you were doing an authoritative restore and marking objects as newer, this was actually giving you elder files, and you were able, after the restore was gone, all objects were there, but some links disappeared, and the elder files were actually recreating those links by taking the object out of the group, putting it back into the group, and this is then triggering replication that this guy or girl is a member of this group again. In Windows Server 2008 R2, we got the recycle bin, and we'll look how this is working in a moment. So if we look behind the scenes and we look at the Active Directory database, and this is now a little bit more technical slide, I'm not sure who had a look into the Active Directory database before. Oh, a couple of you. Okay, cool. Because usually it's not this easy to look into there, but there's a hidden command where you can actually dump the database. So if you look into the database, everything is flat. That's also important to remember. If we have one data table, and in the data table, we have all information about all users and groups which are on this domain controller. So even if you think about replication, and if you think about multiple forests, and if you think about global catalog server, and Microsoft is always talking about different partitions, like you have domain DNS zones and forest DNS zones, and you have partition replication in the global catalog server, this has nothing to do with the Active Directory database, because the database is simply flat. There's one data table on every domain controller, and all data which is on the domain controller is in there. So here we have the parent. We have a distinguished name tag that's simply a database row. It's simply a counter. And we have a lot of references here to this distinguished name tag. So the distinguished name, what you see in the user interfaces or when you hit DS query and you're searching for a user or something, this distinguished name, CN equals user, comma, COU equals my OU, comma, DC equals example, comma, DC equals com, this long distinguished name is actually not stored in the database. It's just a reference between multiple columns in the database. So that's why we have a parent distinguished name tag here. So the deleted objects container in this example, let me show this. This deleted objects container here has a pointer here that he's in the company container, which is in, and so on. And if we look at if we look further here, the users container is also in the domain container. The consulting group might be in the users container, and so on. So we just have references there, and Active Directory is displaying us those things differently. So that's what's in the database, and we have Ulf and Joe who are also here, two user accounts who are also in the users container. So we have additional tables, but the additional tables actually don't contain a lot of data. They are simply helping us. So we have one table, it's called the link table, and there we have relationships. I hope you are able to see this. The graphics department were doing some adjustments there, and yeah, so. So the link table is actually stating this, that the user Ulf in this example is a member of the consulting group. So that's stored in a different table. And there's also stored that Joe is a member of the consulting group. So this actually explains phantom objects. Who had heard about phantom objects? A couple of people too, yeah. So phantom objects are used, that they are the reasons why you shouldn't put a global catalog server and the infrastructure master on the same domain controller, excepting when every domain controller in the domain is a global catalog server. And the reason here is pretty easy, because we need to maintain a link relationship there. And if we have links which are, or if we have groups in our domain which contain users from other domains, our domain controller, if he's not a global catalog server, has no reference to link to. There's no distinguished name tag, there's no object there. So what the domain controller is actually doing, or what the infrastructure master is doing, he's actually going after the he's comparing his own database with the database of one global catalog server, and if he's seeing that there are users there which are referenced and he doesn't know what those users are, then he's just getting some basic information about the user there, that he has something here in the link table or in the data table to reference in the link. So that's the reason for the phantom objects. And this is easily explaining why you can't put the infrastructure master on a global catalog server, but you can do it with every domain controller in your domain is global catalog server, because then you have all those data in there and you don't need additional references. So what's going on when we delete something? Actually, that's called in the Windows 2000 and higher days, if you don't have recycle bin enabled, actually those objects are converted into tombstones or tombstones, whatever. So the name is being mangled. So there's a backslash and actually a carriage return delete mark there, which is mentioning the GUID, that you are able to reuse the name afterwards. And it's also stripping away all or most information out of the user object. So everything is here deleted, most attributes. There's only a partial set, like the SID is contained and some basic information. And this object maintains then for the object for the tombstone lifetime, which is by default 60 days when your first domain controller was Windows 2000, 2003 without service pack, 2003 R2 without service pack, and which is 180 days if it was Windows Server 2003 with SP1. Or there was a glitch in R2 in 2003 where they accidentally were putting in the old default again. And if you have 2003 R2 or not with service pack 2 or higher, then your as your first domain controller in your forest, then your tombstone lifetime is 180 days, or you adjusted it. So this object is floating around for the 60 or 180 days to ensure that every domain controller knows that this object needs to be deleted. And after the time is over, the object is deleted on every single DC. But it's deleted locally, so there's no more replication happening. The disease simply, he's running a garbage collection process twice a day, and he's just looking in there and he's seeing, okay, this object was deleted more than 60 days ago, so let's get rid of it. So the issue, another issue there is, if you were just looking at the link table here, as soon as the object is being deleted and moved into the deleted objects container, also the references in the link table are being erased. So they are gone. And there's no tombstone there or anything. Those are simply away. And that's actually the reason why we have a hard time restoring those things and why it was so hard implementing the Active Directory Recycle Bin. So when we have Active Directory Recycle Bin, this life cycle is actually changing. Before we had live objects, we were able to delete them into tombstone objects, and if they weren't recreated or reanimated, then they were automatically cleaned up after the tombstone lifetime. In Windows Server 2008 R2, when we enable the recycle bin, we have a different process there. We are turning a live object into a deleted object, and this is maintained for the deleted object's lifetime, which is by default the same amount than your tombstone lifetime currently is. And if you don't undelete this object, it will turn into a tombstone object after the deleted object's lifetime is over. And afterwards, when the tombstone lifetime is over, the tombstone will vanish. So we have the same processes, but in the middle we were putting a new thing there, what we call deleted objects. And let's actually look how this is looking in the Active Directory database. So in the database, we have the same scenario than a minute before. And we have a new row here now, the is recycled row in the Active Directory database. And if we look at the link table, we also have a new row there, the deactivated row. So you can probably already guess what's going on. So if we are deleting a user, the name is being modified. We also store information there. That's not on the slide. We store information about the last known parent. So we remember where the user was coming from because he's moved into the deleted objects OU, a container, sorry. And we also have a mark on the link table that we simply mark this link as deactivated. So we are marking this link as deactivated, and then those relationships are going away. And if we want to undelete this user now, it's fairly easy because we maintain all information in there. We didn't strip the information. So if we want to undelete this user, we just need to change the name again, put him in the different location, and mark the links as being active again. So that's fairly easy, and then the user is completely restored with all group memberships. So that's what's going on behind the scenes using the Active Directory Recycle Bin, and that's the reason why you also need a forest level of Windows Server 2008 R2 to enable the optional feature Recycle Bin, because you need to make sure that all domain controllers are at the same level, because if one of the domain controllers has not those informations in the database, you cannot be sure that the restore process is not running on one of those domain controllers, and those informations actually don't need to be or there's not much replication here if you undelete a user. It's simply being marked undeleted, and so there's minimal replication. Not all attributes and everything will be replicated over again. So we need Windows Server 2008 R2 on every DC to enable the domain at forest level, and then we are able to switch on the recycle bin. So there's one other thing there. If we want to restore multiple objects, the deleted objects container is actually completely flat. So if we delete those users here, they're actually vanishing out of their OU, or if we delete the OU with all users in there, the whole hierarchy is away. We have the last known parent attribute in there, so we would be able to figure out who was the parent there, and then we need to restore the parent first. Afterwards, we are able to restore the users which are right underneath the parent and the OUs which are underneath the parent, and so on. So we have to restore and respecting the hierarchy. And fortunately, the Active Directory product group made a PowerShell command which is making this easy for you. However, as Dean Wells mentioned the other day, there's no tool in the graphical user interface right now to help you with a tree undelete, because the issue there is that on one day you are during the lifetime of your OU, you're creating users, you're deleting users because they are leaving the company, whatever. And at one point, you have like 100 users left. And those 100 users, you want somebody accidentally deleted and you want to restore them. But all the other users which have been there during the lifetime of the OU, it's valid that they are still deleted and you don't want to reanimate those. And that's the reason why it's kind of hard to figure out what you really need to undelete, and that's the reason why they are coming up with a PowerShell script, and you can actually modify the PowerShell script and say, okay, I just want to restore things which were undeleted after a certain time, so it makes it easier for you restoring those things. So we have multiple issues. We have the possibilities that domain controllers are being broken, domain are being broken, forests broken, objects are fully deleted, partially deleted, or deleted, or accidental changes. And the issues are, or you have multiple solutions there. However, if you look at Active Directory Recycle Bin, it's only helping you in this one single solution here. If an object was fully deleted, if you have Windows Server 2008 R2 forest level with an activated recycle bin, then you are able to restore those users in the, to the same level how they were before you deleted them. If you have a script or something which is first taking some information out of the user away and then deleting it, and those are two tasks, then the recycle bin will only get you the user back, but it won't give you the information back which was there before. So we have other possibilities. In Windows Server 2008, we actually got Active Directory snapshots, and we can also use this to get additional information back, and I will show you how to do this in a moment. So as I said, AD Recycle Bin requires forest level. It's an optional feature which must be enabled. However, which is quite interesting, in Windows Server 2008 R2 and higher, you are able to decrease the forest level again, or domain level. So for those companies out there who are uncomfortable increasing a forest level, when you're at Windows Server 2008 and then you want to increase the forest level, you can always roll back to the old forest level. Before you had to do a forest recovery, but now you can roll back to the old forest level, but only if you don't have any features enabled which are actually requiring you to be at this forest level. So my suggestion would be increase the forest level, wait a couple of weeks, whatever, see that everything is working, and if you're sure that everything worked and you already forgot that you increased the forest level, then you're able to switch on the recycle bin. And make sure that you have good backups before you switch on the recycle bin, because the database is significantly changing, so you must not use any backups which were done before, or it's actually getting much harder. Here we're back again. Simply wanted to see if anyone was posting questions. But what tools is used to view NTDS did? There's no native tool which is doing this. There are a couple people out there who hacked those things. But those are not distributed freely over the internet. However, there's a command what you can use. It's called dump database, and it's giving you a text dump of the NTDS did, and you can actually see the information what I just showed you. You can see this in the text file. You simply fire up LDP, you do a dump database, and you provide an attribute what you are interested in getting back, and then you are able to then you have a text dump of the database right in the same directory where the NTDS did is also stored, and you are able to open this up using Notepad or anything, and then you see the parent distinguished name tag, the distinguished name tag, and all those things. So you're able to look into there and understand Active Directory better. And the link table is also displayed down there. It's simply shifted a little bit to the right that you can see that there are links in there. So both tables are actually being displayed in there. Okay, let's go on. Or let's at least try to go on. Okay, new in Windows Server 2012 is the Active Directory Administrative Center. Or actually we had it before. the administrative center is not this new thing, but we had it in Windows Server 2008 R2. But Active Directory Administrative Center finally is giving us a GUI, or graphical user interface, for supporting the domain and first level upgrade. Okay, this was there before too, but you are able to enable the recycle bin in the graphical user interface, and it's also supporting you on deletion of single user objects. So you can go there and you can actually go in the deleted objects container, and if you have a single user object what you accidentally deleted, you're able to right click and restore it right out of the GUI. Question here? Yeah, so the question is how would I recover if somebody was deleting OU with users in there or multiple users? So that's the same thing than before. You need to use the PowerShell script or write your own scripts or go down and figure out the hierarchy yourself. Actually, the graphical user interface is also helping you in figuring out how the hierarchy was looking, because you're able to right-click on the deleted object and you can ask the object what to show the last known parent, so it's showing you the OU it was in, so you're able to navigate the hierarchy manually if you have just a few objects. But if you have multiple objects, I strongly advise to look at the PowerShell script which is provided, and I have a link somewhere in this presentation too. So in Windows Server 2008 we got Active Directory snapshots, and I'm actually a big fan of AD snapshots because I'm a big fan of understanding Active Directory snapshots, because if you understand this technology, then you're fairly easy to do additional things, and I will show one of those things at the end of my presentation. So what you can do in Windows Server 2008 and later, and you only need a single domain controller per domain, hopefully, to have to host a domain controller, and which is based on Windows Server 2008 or higher, that you have Active Directory snapshot feature, because it's actually a feature which is local for a single DC. So you can create snapshots using ntdsutil by simply going ntdsutil, then into the snapshot subcontext, activate instance ntds, and create. If you are running Windows Server 2012 and you run it as Server Core and you want to do remote administration, this is working, but it's kind of... Yeah, let me show this here for a moment. So let's fire up Server Manager again. Where is it? Here. And in Server Manager, I have this here. So it's very nice here because I have a context menu. Remember I just said earlier, when you click on a specific server, you right-click, you get certain tasks here. So I can open up Computer Management or PowerShell on this remote computer. I can also open up ntdsutil exe on this remote computer. You know what it's doing? So it's simply showing you ntdsutil and then it's stopping again. This is not running on the remote computer, so you can't do anything, and you're not even in the ntdsutil context here. You're back at the command line if you look down there. So I don't think that this is very necessary or very helpful here. What you would be able to do, so, is you can start the PowerShell, because the PowerShell is starting remotely then. Let's wait a moment, because it needs to make up the remote connection. I hope it's working. If not, then I need to log out and back in, because my host computer is joined to the same domain than my virtual machine. So it might be that the Kairos ticket is not refreshed. But this console is working against the remote computer. Now you have an issue here, because if you type ntdsutil, nothing would happen. ntdsutil, usually you get some interface. Now it's starting ntdsutil exe command remotely. However, since we are in PowerShell, we are not in a command prompt, we can't do anything in there. And we are back to the command prompt again, so we are not in ntdsutil anymore. So the only thing what you can do if you want to create a snapshot is actually providing the full command. Create snapshot. We go in the subcontext of snapshots. Then we go in the subcontext of, we need to activate the instance. NTDS, so we say we want to work against the domain, and then we tell him to create a snapshot, and then we tell him that we want to quit out of the interface, quit two times. So if I'm running this command here, I'm actually telling the domain controller. I'm running remotely here, as you can see in the beginning of the prompt. I'm telling the domain controller to create a snapshot and get out of the command again. I can use this command to create a snapshot. However, I wouldn't be able to mount the snapshot later or anything else using those commands. So I actually need to go on the, in the server manager or in the console of the server and do this from the command line there, which is fairly easy in server core anyways. Do I have Hyper-V already started? Nope. Hyper-V manager. And that's my demo machine here. So that's a server core. There's nothing on it. Even the binaries. If I want to install anything there, I, as I said earlier, I removed all the binaries. So if I want to install any new feature here, I have to provide him with the CD or with a connectivity to Windows Update or something to get those binaries. So what I can do here now is I can fire up ntdsutil, and I can go into the snapshot subcontext. Then I can list all. And I can actually decide that I want to mount a snapshot. And I can actually, if I'm doing a list all, I can use the short number, which is listed in the first column here. If I don't list them, then I need to use this GUID or this GUID, depending on what snapshots I want to start and so on and what volumes. So this is now mounted into the C drive. I'm able to go out of there. And now I would be able to fire up a different utility. It's called DSA main. And DSA main gives me the possibility to fire up Active Directory on a different port using one of the backup files or one of those snapshots I did before. So I need to provide the DB path here, the database path. Then I'm going until C. Okay. Challenged by remote consoles. I actually recommend you using tab completion here. Simply type C / dollar snap and then hit tab there, because those numbers, it's actually the year, month, and so on. So it's the date which is used here, but it's kind of easy to make typos in here. Then we need to go into Windows, NTDS. And we are looking for the NTDS did. I actually recently had a case where somebody was trying to do this, and he said, yeah, snapshots are being broken on Windows Server 2012. And I was actually, I was looking at his screenshots. What he did by accident, he had the PowerShell command line running. So not all commands are supported in the PowerShell command line. So I would rather not use it for classical CMD commands, command line tools. But you are also able to, for this command, you are able to use PowerShell, but then you need to put the path name into hyphens because, or into quotes, because there's a dollar in there, and PowerShell would take the dollar as a variable. And so you need to quote this path here. Now we need to provide a LDAP port, and let's use 10,000. And now it's actually firing up a different instance of Active Directory. Yeah, startup completed. Always important to read this one. And this one is waiting here until I cancel out of it. But now there's a different version of Active Directory provided on port 10,000. If I want to go back into, let's start up Active Directory Administrative Center because we didn't use it yet. And as you've seen, I'm on my client again. So server, just server core, and the client here is using all the remote server administration tools, and it's actually working very, very well. We already got the server manager, so we are actually starting it using server manager. We have the server manager here, Active Directory Administrative Center. Takes a short moment to start up. It's based on PowerShell, which is good. You even have a PowerShell history viewer, what you can bring up from the bottom here to see the last commands, what you did. I didn't do anything yet, but if you're navigating there and you want to do it on multiple computers or you want to write scripts, you can simply cheat and look in here what commands the interface was doing here. And so we would be able now to go into my users, for example, and delete something here or create something. Okay. It was jumping to the wrong one. So let's simply change our user here. And now let's start Active Directory. Server Manager, please. Where are you? Here. Here he is. Let's start Active Directory users and computers. We just changed Joe in the OU, my users. I think he was in Orlando. Here we go. I actually need to change the domain controller here, and I'm still using the tech@dc01, but now I'm providing a port number here, port 10,000. Takes a moment. So what DSA main is doing, it's starting up another instance of Active Directory or of Active Directory here on port 10,000, as you can see, very tiny here. And if we go to Joe here now, my users, Orlando, Joe, properties. I'm confused. Did we just change the building? Sorry? I changed what? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry. So the demo is actually working, yeah. I changed the building name. I'm looking at the snapshot now, so we have the old building name in here. If I would look at the live object, it would be the object what I changed. So, or the value what I changed. And you can actually use any tool in Active, any tool which is able to take a port number from you and run it against a snapshot. So you can use LDFDE and dump the user information. You can use DSGET, DSQuery, DSMOD and run it against a different port and you get the history information of the user. And I have a command line in here which is actually looking at the history of the user and then restoring his group memberships on the live object. And that's just a single line. And I have it later in the presentation. So let's go back to the presentation. So we are creating a snapshot, then we are mounting the snapshot in the file system, then we start up DSA main. What DSA main is actually doing was firing up this, it's starting with port 10,000. That's Active Directory. Then 10,001 would be the regular domain via SSL. 10,002 would be the global catalog port, and 10,003 would be then global catalog via SSL, because a classical Active Directory always needs four ports, and we insisted that you only need to provide one port, and then it's counting up, but you can also use different parameters there if you want to have certain other ports there. And afterwards, you are able to access the Active Directory data read-only. You can't modify it. It's a history. And what's very interesting is also there, you don't even need to create snapshots. If you have a backup from last night, you can actually just extract the NTDSDIT file from the backup, and this tool enables you to look into the Active Directory state of the backup. So before you do any authoritative or other restores, you are able to look first into the backup and see if the directory state in this backup is the state you really want to restore, and you don't need to trial and error with Active Directory restores what you had to do in the past. So I really encourage everyone to be familiar with this possibilities and those scripting possibilities, because it can save you on certain things, it can save you a lot of time. So what you also can do if you don't have Recycle Bin enabled yet, you can actually reanimate tombstones. There are tools out there, one tool from Marco Rosinovich, AD Restore from SysInternals. There are other tools there which are also allowing you to do this, AD Mod from Joe Richards, fellow AD MVP and friend of us, or you would be able to do it with LDP, but that's a little bit complicated. And so you're getting the tombstone back in the middle, and the tombstone has no information. The graphics department decided actually that this information, what the tombstone lost here, is his gender. So you can use then additional methods like those Active Directory backup snapshots to get the additional information back from the users. We still don't get the backward links back. We have to take care of them differently, but you can use those possibilities as well. You just need to put a little bit more brain in a script. So let's take a brief excursus, but I really want to talk just briefly about it because there were so many sessions where virtual domain controllers were covered. Good thing they were providing us was a baby bottle here because that's actually reducing the risk of spilling on our demo hardware. Actually, I think the real reason why we got provided with those is they are more anxious about their own hardware. So the most forest, you already read this here, the most forest and domain recovery scenarios what I've seen in the recent past were caused of virtualization. And the issue there is, like for example, I had this one customer. He has a highly available virtualization infrastructure. One virtualization cluster in one data center, one virtualization cluster in the other data center. Both are having local SANs, which are replicating to each other, so highly available. What happened there is they didn't do a fire drill, but they tried to, or they had a technician there to check all the fire procedures and everything in the data center, and to exchange the gas what's being used there to get rid of the fire. And what happened there is he was going and he had one switch where, and he triggered actually an emergency shutdown of all servers. And the bad thing there was, it was everything was highly available, but the issue there was is the data was written back so quickly that the SAN couldn't actually keep up with all those domain controllers writing back their current state and performing the emergency shutdown. And so the hard drives of the virtual domain controllers got corrupted. However, as I said, they had a replicated SAN, which was very good because the SAN was actually replicating the corrupted state over to the other data center, which wasn't affected by this emergency shutdown, and all domain controllers were corrupt. So we had to perform a forest recovery there. So virtualization is fine if you know what you're doing. And there were always those rumors about having a virtual DC per domain, a physical DC per domain. I actually don't care. You can even without Windows Server 2012, you can have virtual domain controllers if you do it right, and you can have all of them virtualized. But don't put all on the same virtualization infrastructure. Even a replicated SAN is a single point of failure in some cases, as we've seen. So if you have maybe put a virtualized infrastructure there to the side, or have a single Hyper-V server, which is also running one domain controller of each domain, simply avoid the single point of error. Question?
I was just going to point out a lot of virtual infrastructures, they use Active Directory to authenticate to get into the control of the VM. So if AD goes down, and I like to keep physical domain controllers, so that if nothing else works, I can physically go to it, I can press the power button and bring it into DSR in.
Yeah. So that's a very good suggestion here from this gentleman. He's saying that that many technologies, like either the virtualization technologies, or we also experienced this was backup or restore software, that they're using Active Directory to authenticate and use group memberships and everything out of Active Directory. So if you need to perform a recovery from your AD, then it's a bad idea not to have any, or we've actually seen this also, that was a backup system we weren't able to restore because we had no domain running in the background, so we were unable to restore the domain because the backup software required us to do a domain joint login. So he's actually suggesting still remaining virtual DC per domain. Do it as you like it. However, avoid the single point of failure. And if you have a virtual DC or if you have a different virtualization infrastructure, it's pretty unlikely that everything is going corrupt and then you're on the safe side. There are also issues with timing. There are also issues with don't use snapshots if you don't have Windows Server 2012 and if you don't have a virtualization system which is supporting it. I'm actually having a brief slide here, but we've already seen this during the conference. So virtual DCs are likely to get used in rollbacks if you're using snapshot technologies, or you can even have this on physical disease if you use Ghost Acronis or anything which is not supported and which is doing imaging of your hard drives. So just a rollback here is simply those diseases are replicating and they are using USN numbers to keep in sync. And so we just had it replicating and replicating and they were in sync. Now if we have a snapshot, this in sync is getting away and all the objects which were created on either DC in this time frame in between are at risk and they are not being replicated over to the, or they are likely not to be replicated over to the other domain controller anymore. So you have different domain controllers with different states there and you have maybe duplicate sets and lots of things. So avoid using snapshot technologies on domain controllers if you don't have Windows Server 2012 DCs and underlying virtualization technologies which are supporting those VMGen IDs. But as I said, we take this briefly. There were so many sessions about this here. So I want to point you out to some best practices. One thing is prevent human errors. I've heard from someone who had a heart attack because he was called to his CIO because his account was being used deleting multiple objects and he didn't even know. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe somebody else was using the account. I don't even think that there were that there was somebody doing it on purpose. But prevent human errors. Keep the numbers of your domain administrators low. You can delegate so many things in Active Directory. You can even delegate domain administrative tasks. So delegate whatever is possible and just keep a low number of domain admins. At one company where I had to run Active Directory recovery, which took hours until everything was restored, and we need to talk to the backup teams to stop the current backups in the middle of the night that we are able to have a tape drive for doing the restores and stuff like this. So it was a big mess. And they had almost 300 domain administrators. And after this recovery, they had three. This was actually a number which was pretty low because they were also running into shifts. So they were actually, the guy who was leaving the shift was making the guy who was following up a domain administrator, and then the other guy took the previous user out there. So this might be a little bit hardline, but still, don't use too many domain administrators. Try to do your daily administrative tasks or your daily task with other accounts and keep your domain administrator account kind of secure and protected. Also, in Windows Server 2008 and higher, you are able to protect OUs from accidental deletion. So if you create an OU using any of the consoles which are provided in 2008 and higher, OUs are automatically protected from accidental deletion, and you need to go either in the Security tab or in the Object tab when you have advanced view. Go there and reset a checkbox before you are able to delete this object. However, in every version of the operating system since then, there's one arrow, the domain controller's OU is not prevented from accidental deletion. I hope that the product group is fixing this. We actually talked about this in February and showed them where the arrow is. It's a text file, should be easy to fix, but you never know. If there's too much testing involved, it takes another operating system maybe. If you were migrated, and that's very likely, then probably all your OUs are not protected from accidental deletion. Then I would strongly recommend you that you delete, that you protect one of the OUs from accidental deletion manually, and then you can actually use the PowerShell script here. You can also provide protect OUs from accidental deletion in Windows Server 2003, 2000, whatever you have. By simply using this command here, because it's simply putting two deny aces in the OU so that nobody is able to delete this object if he's not providing or if he's not getting rid of the security settings in there. So if you want to delete an OU, then you are simply going in the Security tab, you look at the two deny aces for everyone, they are easily to spot out, you remove them and then you are able to delete the OU. You would also be able to change the default security descriptor of the OUs. That's a little bit advanced administration, that every OU which is being created is automatically protected from accidental deletion using the operating system when it's being created. So in every object in the schema, there's a default security descriptor, and when you create a new user, when you create a new OU or anything, then the default security descriptor is converted into the security descriptor of the new object, and you would also be able to make the setting there. Also, backup the RAID data at least system state. I'm always a fan of additionally backing up the list of objects before I'm doing the system state backup, and that your backup GPO contents using the GPMC, and you have to take care of the group policy links manually. So you can either export, I use usually DSGET and or DSQuery, and simply export every object which has a GP link and GP options attribute, because those are basically the OUs. But then you have all the information if this group policy object might inherit, if it's for users or computers only, so all information is in there. You can also use LDFDE, then it's easy to restore it by converting the file. And also you are able to maintain versions of backups or to keep Active Directory snapshots. So Windows Backup in Windows Server 2008 and higher needs to be installed. Before we had it in the operating system, now it needs to be installed. You can actually also do a critical volume backup. This contains a little bit more data than the system state backup, but you're able to do a bare metal recovery using your installation media, go into the recovery mode, and then do a bare metal recovery using operating system features here. And this would need to be installed. You can use the PowerShell here if you like to. So I have a lot of commands here, which are basically for your reference after the show. The slide deck is available on ComNet. I was actually over there checking it earlier before I went into the session, so you get all the commands there. This here is listing all distinguished names. This one here is using the GPMC scripts to backup all GPOs. The GPO links here was LDFDE, for example. As I said, it's easy to restore them, to create backups and restore. You can actually, if you want to create a backup in the script, this would be the command line here. If you want to create Active Directory snapshots, you can actually put this command here in a scheduled task and run this on a regular basis. It's automatically creating a snapshot for you, and it's not doing you anything. And actually, the domain controller continue to work during they are creating snapshots. So it's a very good possibility. If you want to maintain versions of the backup, I had customers who said, okay, I want to offload the backups to a filer, which is a not Windows filer, for example, and I want to ensure that I only have the last 10 backups for every domain controller. And I tried to figure out how we are doing this, because it's kind of complicated with the built-in tools. And if you look at most scripting possibilities, if you use VBScript, for example, and enumerating those backups is most likely done via WMI, and try to run those WMI commands remotely against a non-Windows filer. It's kind of a burden. So I actually wrote this command line script here, because this is running against UNC paths, and it doesn't matter if the other filer needs to understand SMB, as it does for Windows anyways, but he doesn't need to have a Windows operating system on there or anything else. There are additional technologies. I said you can use snapshots to enable versions. What's pretty interesting too, for those of you who are using Quest AD Recovery Manager, it's a pretty neat tool to do all those restore tasks, what we're talking about here, but it's an additional tool you need to get. And you can actually mount a snapshot, or you can provide a snapshot, or the NTDS did from the snapshot to AD Recovery Manager, and then you're also able to get back to this certain objects back to this specific state. If you use snapshots, I always recommend to manage them. It's a little bit harder, but you can write scripts there. We do this in consulting engagements where we are usually saying, okay, let's maintain the full snapshot for 7 days. Let's copy the NTDS did out of there and maintain it for 30 days. And after 30 days, we are getting rid of everything, because then we don't need it anymore. So those are possibilities you can also do. So I was showing you the slide earlier with all the issues and solution paths what we have in Active Directory. And so the recycle bin is only helping you in the green one here. But if you get familiar with AD snapshots and with DSA main and all the command line tools, what you can use to restore, and I'm showing you how to restore information via LDAP files in a moment, then you are actually able to get even those yellow and orange scenarios covered here by creating your own scripts or using built-in tools. Here we have the commands for the recycle bin. Oh, down here is the script from the script center. It's actually written by the by a member of the Active Directory product group and is based on PowerShell, on the R2 PowerShell, Windows Server 2008 R2. What you can also use if you have the management gateway installed on your domain controller, then you can also use it on, I think, 2008 and 2003, at least 2003 R2. So if you want to restore object data, that's actually pretty interesting here too. You can actually run LDFDE against a specific port and against a specific server if you provide the minus S switch, if you run against server core like we do here. And you can simply dump information about this object or multiple objects. And what I'm doing afterwards is I'm converting this LDAP files. So the LDAP file, what you got over here, let me show this to you. The LDAP file over here has this add command here. So it can be only used to add a full user to the system. However, there are certain things, certain attributes in there which are not writable. And since I didn't select on the export what attributes I want to write, I can't write everything back. Also, I would rather restore the user from using the tombstone that he's maintaining the same SID and afterwards just adjusting all the attributes. So what you can actually do here is that you convert the LDAP file and that you replace the attributes attribute by attribute. So every time when we have a minus symbol here, this one here, every time we have this here, it's a write procedure. So the commands are clustered like this here, and then we have a different command here, and we have a different command here. And using this procedure here enables us to first reanimate the tombstone, and afterwards we are going and we write back every single attribute. We get the information out of the snapshot. We put this information into the live directory, and we never have to restore a domain controller or anything else. And this would also enable us to get live users back with history information. If we have anything in there, we can filter out what we want to write. And pretty good here is too, you write everything back what you're able to write back as domain admin, but if there's anything which is owned by the system, like when changed or anything else, the command is simply failing, but then it's carrying on because we provided this set switch here, and the command will carry on with writing back the other attribute. So if you're able to get all information back for everything which is writable as domain administrator, that's actually everything you need. Right? But links. So we didn't take care of the links yet. So what you can also do is that you convert the whole thing, that you take the backward links, so member of, for example, and then you simply use the group and change the user inside the member of. But you can also, so here are certain scenarios when you only want to do certain attributes and restore them. And if you want to restore those links, you can actually use simple scripts too. And here's the one command line, so it's three lines on PowerPoint, would be one line in CMD. And with this dsget command, what we are doing here, we are telling him, okay, we want to get the information of this user account here. We are running against a snapshot. I'm actually running against the global catalog server of the snapshot here. And I'm pulling out the member of information. And this is being piped into the group. And we are saying we want to, the group is being inserted here. And so we are taking the group out of the member of information from the snapshot, from the history. And then we say, okay, use the specific group and add the very same user, what we used up front here, use the same very same user and put it back in there. So that's a one-liner, and you can come up with your own scripts. That's very easy. And we do all the things in production. We don't shut down any domain controller. We don't restore it. It's not offline for a certain time. Okay, more ways to get data. We have Active Directory Recycle Bin, we have snapshots, we have in Windows Server 2003. Also interesting, you can use Bex snapshots from Windows Server 2003 and higher, and you can actually mount them in the DSA main tool too, but you need to provide an additional switch here, the allow upgrade switch. And in Windows Server 2008, or you would be able to use a Windows Server 2008 domain and not domain controller, and either domain controller of our own forest or a member machine and just put the AD binaries there or AD LDS, and then you also have the DSA main command and you're also able to run snapshotted domain controller from there. In Windows 7 and Windows Server 8, AD LDS is also available. In Windows 7, you have to download it additionally. In Windows 8, it's part of the operating system. If you use a client operating system there are some, it might not run very stable there, so that's only for experimental things, because then AD LDS is only using one port usually, and it's not firing up four ports, so this behavior is different here. So I've tried it, it's working, but it might fail after a couple minutes or something, and it's only providing you with one point. So if you want to do this in production, if you want to write serious scripts using those technologies, use Windows Server and use a member server with binaries or use a standalone server somewhere. So we have different strategies for versioning and online recovery depending on the operating system, what the source is, how you want to get the database back or the data back. So I have listed this table here. It's also in the PowerPoint, so I encourage you to download the PowerPoints. They are available on Comnet, as I said. Create a backup strategy. One approach I'm doing actually here, I started to like group policy preferences at my customers. What you can do with group policy preferences is you can set registry keys, you can copy files, you can copy folders or create folders. You are able to create scheduled tasks. And so I can actually everything what I need to do to perform a backup on a domain controller, I can actually do using group policy preferences. So what I started doing usually is I'm creating a group, and this group contains only the domain controller which need to be backed up, because we don't need usually more than two domain controllers per domain being backed up, but at least two. So I have every domain controller which needs to be backed up in the single group, and I create a group policy object which is only applied for the members of this one group, and the group policy is creating backup folder, it's creating a script folder where I provide additional scripts, then it's copying my backup script in there, it's creating a scheduled task to run the backup at certain times, and that's it. And then I'm simply putting the domain controller which need to be backed up in the group, and they get all the information. The backup script is actually with the PowerShell command line, what I showed earlier. It's ensuring that Windows Backup is installed first, and then it's doing all other tasks. So I don't need to, I try to avoid that I have certain domain controllers which are installed differently than other domain controllers. I rather use a group policy doing this for me, and then I can ensure that I'm deploying every domain controller the same way and simply putting him in a group depending on my strategies. So I do the same thing for Active Directory snapshots, for creating them, for managing them. I'm doing the same thing, for example, in Windows Server 2008, you're able, and higher, you are able to synchronize the directory services restore mode password with the user account. So I'm creating a user account, it's deactivated, I'm changing the password there, and then I'm running a scheduled task which is on a regular basis resetting the password of the DSRM admin to the same password of this one user, and I simply instruct the administrative staff there to have a procedure changing the domain account's password once in a while, and then all domain controllers are getting this password for the directory services restore mode. And I'm using the same technology using group policy preferences there, and this is the only preference what I apply to all domain controllers, because I want all domain controllers to regularly change their DSRM password. Additionally, you can configure RDP that you're able to boot into directory services restore mode using the remote commands. We have the command here for syncing the DSRM password, what I just told you. And that's also important to have change processes in place, because your last backup is most likely not the state of your directory, what you want to get back. Your administrators did change group policy memberships or anything in between, so they need to be able to rerun those procedures. So if you have change management processes in place which are documenting what you guys are doing when and when you change group memberships, then you're able to recreate those things manually afterwards. Another thing is extending the management interfaces. In Windows Server 2000, or since Windows 2000, you were able to extend the certain management interfaces. You were able to provide scripts or binaries, and you were able to right-click on an OU or on a user and then run those scripts. And you were also able to extend, let's say, the user, the tabs of the user, and put additional tabs in there. Certain companies are using this. The second one is pretty hard to do. The first one was extending the context menu is very easy. So maybe you have recognized this earlier. Let's switch to the two Active Directory users and computers quickly. No, this was the wrong one. Here's Active Directory users and computers. And so, for example, I have a thing here. It's called My Properties. And you see I have here a couple extensions. And this My Properties is actually something I wrote for a customer once. They wanted to extend the schema. And I'm using a delegated account here, which has not all rights to write right now. But I'm actually able to change those additional properties here, like they were storing branch office information in there. Pretty popular in Germany is also that we store cost center information in Active Directory, or that we store it somewhere, and some companies prefer it putting it in Active Directory, because then you have it distributed as well. So you can do those things pretty easily. In the new administrative center, you can't extend the context menu, but you still can use Active Directory users and computers doing this. You would be able to extend the legacy tabs, which are showing right at the bottom of the object, but this requires some C++ know-how to write those additional tabs there. Yeah, if you want to clone multiple machines, forest domains or something, consider the new cloning technologies. I was actually planning on maybe having a demo there, but I have too much information on my slide and not enough time. So if you need to perform a forest or domain recovery and you are prepared for using cloning in Windows Server 2012, then you're scaling out very quickly, and this is actually giving you good possibilities here. You can fire up a lot of clones and simply move them to other locations later. Okay, I'm skipping across the customer scenario here because we are running out of time. And here I made a list for your reference what changes are in which operating systems. And here I'm done. There is one breakout session, SIA 313, at 2:45 today, which is also going about Active Directory. That's password self-reset using IFM. Then we have a couple hands-on labs downstairs, which are very interesting here too. One of them, the WSV44, is, for example, for online backup. What you're able to do now with Windows Server 2012, that you're able to write your backups into the cloud. We have a couple exams, but the exams for Windows Server 2012 and for Windows 8 will come out later this year, as far as I know. And those are exam numbers here. And we needed to provide you with a location where you can find us later. The suggested location would be the Technical Learning Center downstairs and the Active Directory booth. However, they closed 15 minutes ago. So bad timing, and I told the TechEd guys, okay, where should I point you to? So you can actually reach me via my blog if you were sending in Twitter questions during the time. Let's see if there's anything else. Reason not to enable 2008 R2 recycle bin? No, there's no reason not to enable it, but make sure that you have your backups first and then it's working. So I'm actually done with the session here. Thank you for attending. If you want to Twitter about this session, please still use this session code here. And look at Windows Server 2012. And very important, provide feedback, especially if you want in-depth level Active Directory content back. We didn't have it every year. And I would love to come back and come up with some other new sessions. We have other conferences where we, Jimmy and I, talk exclusively about Active Directory, and here it's always hard getting back, so please provide feedback, and let's get connected. You have my blog in the session. You can Twitter me. The information is on my blog as well. So I would love to get into contact with you guys. Thanks for attending, and enjoy the rest of the conference, as short as it may be.